Hello, and welcome to the Bible teaching of Pastor Bill Bigham from the pulpit of Boger City Baptist in Lincolnton, North Carolina. You can join us Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m., Sunday nights at 6 p.m., and Wednesday nights at 7 p.m. We're located at 2201 East Main Street in beautiful Lincolnton, North Carolina. For live and archive streaming services, check us out online at bogercitybaptist.org. That's Boger, B-O-G-E-R, City, C-I-T-Y, Baptist.org, O-R-G. And now, open your hearts and minds as Pastor Bill brings the message.
The Greek word for teaching is didaskalos, and it means one who instructs in the Word of God. A teacher of Scripture is an instructor. And do you know that the teacher has the opportunity to handle one of three eternal things on this earth? If I were to ask you what the three eternal things are on this earth, what would you say they were? Not your bank account or your home or your job or your health. Not even you. You're not an eternal thing on this earth. You're going to die one day. Let me share with you the three eternal things on the earth. The human soul. Your body isn't eternal, but your soul is going to live forever. The Holy Spirit is on this earth. He's an eternal thing. And the third thing is the Holy Scriptures. The teacher of God's Word is honored to handle one of only three eternal things on the earth. Listen to what the Word of God says about itself. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the Word of our God abides forever. Jesus said, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will never pass away." I want to give you a definition for the gift of teaching. I'm going to repeat it a couple of times so you can write it down, but teaching is the God-given ability to verbally apply truth from the Bible, thus allowing people to grow into spiritual maturity. It is the God-given ability to verbally apply truth from the Word of God, thus allowing God's people to grow up into spiritual maturity. Teaching applies truth. One of the most important things God has called me to do, in fact, it is the most important thing, is to teach eternal truth. No other book on this earth save Holy Scripture is eternal. And yet this book is going to last forever. Now, if you have ever sat under someone with the gift of teaching, you'll know it. By the same token, if you've ever sat under someone who didn't have the gift of teaching, you'll know it. You may be here today and you might be teaching and yet not a teacher. You say, how in the world is that possible? Well, you may be teaching a Sunday school class. You may be teaching in some capacity and may not have the gift of teaching. By the same token, you may be in a position where you're not teaching and yet you're a teacher. You may be teaching and not be a teacher because you don't have the spiritual gift. And you may not be teaching and yet be a teacher because you do have the gift and you're not using it for the glory of God. Baptist churches far and wide are filled with men and women who are teaching and don't have the gift of teaching. It is a sad thing to go into many churches and there are men and women who every week open the Scriptures and are absolutely incapable of transmitting the truth of God's Word. If you don't have the gift of teaching, don't teach. If you are not gifted with this gift, you'll do more harm than good if you try to use a gift God hasn't given you. Now, let me share with you to begin with the reason for the gift of teaching. I just want you to write down 2 Peter 3:18, where Peter told us to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. The reason God gave the gift of teaching to the local church is so that Christians can grow. It is God's will that every believer grow into spiritual maturity. Would you join me in Ephesians chapter 4? I'm going to quote most of the verses today for time's sake, but if you'll join me for this one, I want you to see Ephesians chapter 4 in front of you for a moment, because here's another listing of the gifts. Look in verse number 11, Ephesians 4, 11. He himself gave some to be apostles. Now, I'm going to talk to you about that gift in a few weeks. And I'm going to tell you that the gift of the apostle is no longer in operation. Like Paul or Peter, I think the closest thing we have to this spiritual gift today is the gift of being a missionary. He gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and then some pastors and teachers. Why did God give the gift of teaching? Look at verse 13. For the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, and look at verse 13, till we all, not some of us, or many of us, or most of us, but until we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect, meaning mature, man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of the Lord Jesus Christ. God gave this gift to the church, and there are numbers of you in this church who have the gift, and it is given for the express purpose of leading God's people into spiritual maturity. I stood here in June of 2007 during that Saturday night Q&A. For those of you who were here then, you remember it, just before you called me as your pastor. And I shared with you my goal for this church. My goal for Boger City Baptist Church is not that we run 1,000 in worship one day, or have a $1 million budget, or have buildings aplenty out here. My goal for this church is that every one of you grow into spiritual maturity. Nothing is more important than that. No family life center, no additional parking, no additional land acquisition. Nothing is more important than every member of this church growing into spiritual maturity. And listen to this, you will never, ever grow into spiritual maturity apart from the Word of God. Impossible. It will never happen. I'll tell you something else. You will never grow into spiritual maturity apart from the Word of God, and you will never grow into spiritual maturity apart from the local church. I'm going to share something with you I want you to remember. Listen to this. You've got to show up to grow up. You've got to be here, sitting under the teaching of the Word of God in Sunday school and here on Sunday morning in worship. And I have come to the realization, this is not only true of Boger City Baptist Church, but every church I have ever pastored and every church out here. There are three kinds of people. It is true here, it is true everywhere. There are those of you who were here faithfully. I mean, virtually every time the doors are open, you're here. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and you're growing. And the reason you are growing up is because you're showing up. Then there's a group of you, and it's true in every church, you come sporadically. You're hit and miss. Quite simply put, we can't count on you to be faithful. You just come when you feel like it. The church, if you want to admit it, and you should because it's true in your life, for those of you who show up hit and miss sporadically when it's convenient, when you feel like it, why don't you just admit that the church is very low on your priority list and other things are more important? You might as well be honest. God knows that's the case. You will never grow up into spiritual maturity if you merely come here sporadically. And then there are others, they just show up on very rare occasions, special occasions. You know, I call them C&E people. You see them on Christmas and Easter and maybe a few other times during the year. People like that are never going to grow into spiritual maturity. Let me pose this question. I've been thinking about this all week. Why is it that some people who claim to be Christians don't want to grow into spiritual maturity? I'm telling you again, you'll never do it apart from the Word of God, and you will never do it apart from being faithful in the local church. But why is it that some people have no burden and no desire to grow into maturity? Now, here's one thing that we are fond of saying, and I'm beginning to kind of reconfigure in my mind just how valid this really is. We've got loved ones. We may have grandchildren, children, parents, friends, working associates, and they have no desire to grow into maturity. There's no burden in their life to grow up in the things of God. And one of the things we are apt to say ever so quickly is, well, you know, they're just backslidden. They're just backslidden. I'm beginning to wonder about that. Somebody says a prayer when they're 7 or 8 years old and they're in church for a few years and then they're out of church for 35, 40 years. You never see them. They're not burdened about anything biblical. There's nothing in their heart that would lead you to believe that they really have a love relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. I wonder if the problem is being backslidden, or maybe have you ever considered the possibility that loved one or that friend or that neighbor or that working associate, rather than being backslidden, they may just be lost. Have you ever considered that possibility? I mean, how in the world can someone lay out of church for years, never show any sign of love for the Lord or love for His Word or love for the church or love for the people of God, and we just say they're backslidden? They've not had anything to slide back from. The only way you can be backslidden is to be at a certain place spiritually, and I would maintain to all of you, maybe the problem is they've never had a new birth experience to begin with. Now, there's maybe another reason. Maybe the other reason is that they're too in love with the things of the world to be in love with the things of God. Maybe they genuinely are saved, but they have no burden to grow up because the world and all the allure and the enticement of the world has captivated them. Well, God has given the gift of teaching to help every one of us grow up. Secondly, let me give you the recognition of this gift. We have seen the reason God gave it. And if you've got the gift and you're using it, thank you, because you are enabling fellow believers to begin to grow into maturity. Secondly, can I give you some signs or traits of this gift, the recognition of the gift of teaching? Here's the first one. Now again, some of these come right out of the Word of God, and some of them just come by mere observation. I've been pastoring almost 30 years. I see these things in the lives of those who have the gift of teaching. Number one, a white hot passion to study the Word of God. Teachers love to teach. Those of us who have this gift, we love to do it. It is fun, it is enjoyable, it is fulfilling. I call standing up here on Sunday morning with the opportunity God gives me, a.m. and p.m. and Wednesday evening, being able to stand and teach the Word of God and preach the Word on Sunday is my dessert for eating my vegetables all week long. Now you say, what in the world are vegetables? Well, if you were a pastor, you would know what the vegetables are. Turnip greens and rutabagas and broccoli and spinach and all of that. I have to have my hot fudge Sunday. On Sunday. And this is my hot fudge Sunday for eating my vegetables all week long. But listen to this now. This is very important. One of the ways you'll know you've got the gift of teaching is because teachers love to study as much as they love to teach. They love preparation as much as proclamation. They love to get into the Word and dig and find truth and prepare. And as I have often said, I told one of our members this morning, he asked me what I was preaching on. And I was standing outside my study door See, it depends on what I'm doing back there as to what I call that room. It's an office and it's a study. When I am doing administration back there on behalf of this church, and that occupies the greatest amount of work I do every week, is administration. It's an office. When I am in preparation to preach and to teach, it's a study. People with the gift of teaching, and I have talked to many of you who have this gift, who tell me you love studying the Word of God. Now, listen to this carefully. If you are teaching in any capacity in this church and studying for your lesson is a chore and you dread doing it, you might well reconsider whether or not you have the gift of teaching. I'm telling you, if you dread preparing a message or a lesson, if it doesn't thrill you to sit down and open the Word and begin to study, you may not have the gift of teaching. I love preparing as much as I do sharing. And let me just say this as an aside. This won't cost you anything extra. If you are not prepared when you teach, people will know it. And if you are prepared when you teach, guess what? People will know it. The teacher loves to study the Word of God. Here's another absolute, unequivocal truth of the recognition of the gift. Number two, not only a passion to study, but number two, the teacher who is God-called and gifted is going to have as a priority faithfulness to sound doctrine. They're going to ask themselves two questions after they're through teaching, whether it's Sunday school class, children, Awana, standing at a pulpit, regardless of where it is. Here's the two questions they'll ask. I ask this question every time I get back to my office after Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. Question number one, did I teach effectively? Number two, was it correct? Was it biblical? A teacher is going to be consumed about adhering to sound doctrine. Listen to John 17, 17. Jesus said, "Your word is truth." I am handling one of only three eternal things this morning on this earth. And we are living in a day when there is so much false doctrine being spewed out on television, radio, and in pulpits, in churches across America, that the God-gifted, God-called, God-appointed, God-anointed teacher is going to be passionate about making sure that they teach truth, that there be no error in what they teach. If I were to ask you today who authored Scripture, I hope you wouldn't say Luke and James and John and Peter and Paul. I hope you would say the Holy Spirit. He is the author of the Word of God. Now listen to this very important principle. There are many applications to a verse of Scripture, but only one interpretation. Do you know that when I stand up here and preach on Sunday morning, I could preach on a sermon, I could bring out truth from a verse, and it might apply to one of you in a certain way, and the person right behind you, on the pew right behind you, could hear the same message, and they could take away a different application. That is the beauty of the Word of God. It may touch you in one way and touch somebody else in a totally different way. Many applications, but only one interpretation. Let me tell you what I mean by that. The Holy Spirit of God, who wrote the Word of God, will never lead two different people to believe two different things about any doctrine in Scripture. Now, let me tell you what the implication of that is. I was talking to one of our people about a year ago, and this lady said to me, and I gently corrected her, and she said, "You know, I never thought about what you said, but it's true." She was talking about baptism. And she said to me that her daughter was in a church that baptized by sprinkling. And she said, "You know, here at Boulder City, we baptize by immersion." She said, I guess the Holy Spirit has led us to believe in immersion, and the Holy Spirit has led my daughter to believe in sprinkling. I said, no. The Holy Spirit will never lead two different people to believe two different things about any doctrine. One is right, one is wrong. The Holy Spirit is not going to lead me to believe in immersion and somebody else to believe in sprinkling. Only one of those two can be right. The Holy Spirit is not going to lead me to believe that salvation is by grace and lead somebody else to believe that salvation has to be bought by your baptism. There are those who believe that you're going to be baptized in order to have your sins forgiven. One is right, one is wrong. The Holy Spirit will never lead two people to believe two things about a doctrine or a verse of Scripture that are in contradiction with each other. And so it is the witness of the Holy Spirit, having written the Word of God, that makes us believe that the teacher, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is going to have a passion for sound doctrine. Number three, the teacher may not always be dynamic. Now, I told you a few weeks ago when we looked at the gift of evangelism, you will never hear a boring evangelist. You will never hear a dull evangelist preach the Word of God. Do you know why evangelists are dynamic communicators of the Word of God? Because evangelists have been commissioned to preach to lost people. And you've got to be dynamic to hold their attention. Teachers, on the other hand, may not always be the most mesmerizing communicators of the Word of God. That's why when it comes to the teacher, you've got to listen to what they say and not how they say what they say. Now, I've heard teachers before who were not dynamic, but they were doctrinally sound in their presentation. By the same token, I've heard many polished, dynamic teachers spewing false doctrine. So you don't listen to what they say. You don't listen to how they say what they say. You've got to listen to what the teacher says. Number four, teachers can be ascertained in the church because they have a systematic approach to sharing the Word of God. They're organized. They believe in exposition. We hear this term expository teaching. It comes from the word meaning to pull out of the Scripture. Back in the Old Testament, God gave us the methodology for teaching His Word. Line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. Now, the Word of God was not written with verses. You understand that, don't you? When Paul was writing Ephesians chapter 4, he didn't put verse 1 and verse 2 and verse 3. That was later added by the translators. But boy, did it make it easier to have verses. God's Word flows in such a way that God calls upon His people to teach it and for it to be taught in a systematic kind of way. We call this exposition. On Sunday nights, we are teaching verse by verse, word by word, through Revelation. On Wednesday evening, we're doing it in the book of Matthew. Christians grow quicker by this method than any other. Number five, you can always detect a teacher because they can make even the most difficult passage in Scripture clear. People who don't have the gift of teaching and yet they try to teach often muddy the waters. Do you know what I mean by that? People that do not possess the gift of teaching create confusion when they try to use a gift they don't have. And 1 Corinthians chapter 14 says, God is not the author of confusion. People without the gift of teaching will leave you more confused after they have taught than you were before you heard them. But the gift of teaching will come along and can make even the most difficult passages clear. Now let me give you four or five things you will hear people say about someone who has the gift of teaching. All my ministerial life, I have heard people say this about others with the gift of teaching. of teaching, men and women, pastors, Sunday school teachers, whatever capacity they teach in, there are a number of things you will always hear about the teacher. I've had people say, well, you know, she's got the gift of teaching, and she made that hard verse understandable. We heard her today in Sunday school take a verse, and she made that hard verse easier to understand. Oftentimes they'll say about a teacher, well, he explained that in such a way that it makes perfect sense. You'll hear that about people with the gift of teaching. Other times they'll say, you know, I never knew what that verse over in Hebrews meant, but now I do because I heard her explain it and it just clicked. Other times they'll say about the gift of teaching, you know, I never heard that before. All my life I have lived as someone in church, and I've been a Christian 10 years or 20 years or 30 years, and I've never heard that before. But he backed it up with the Bible. Then you'll hear somebody say, you know, I've read that verse 100 times, but she showed me today in Sunday school something I had never seen in that verse before. Ladies and gentlemen, that is the gift of teaching. Number six, sixth trait of the teacher. They have a passion to see Christians mature. That is the oxygen they breathe, their love for the Word and their desire to see believers grow up in the faith. Let me put it this way. Teaching is not an end in itself. When I walk out of this pulpit this morning, this sermon was not an end in itself, but hopefully a means to a greater end, and that greater end is that you begin to grow up. Thought about this on Thursday. I'm going to exit this church one of three ways. One of three, not two of three or three of three, but only one of three ways I'm going to leave here. I will either resign one day because God is leading me elsewhere. You will fire me. Or thirdly, I will assume room temperature and they will wheel me out of here in a casket. One of those three ways. That's how I'm leaving. If I leave here and you haven't grown in the Word of God, I have failed you. I have failed you. That is my passion. Number seven, you know you've got the gift of teaching if people grow when you teach. That's pretty basic, isn't it? But it's biblical. One of the gifts I'm going to be preaching on in June is the gift of leadership in the church. Some of you are gifted with leadership. Man, I admire you. I really do. It's a great gift. Listen to what John Maxwell said about the gift of leadership. He said, if you think you're a leader and you look back and no one is following you, you're just taking a walk. That's pretty good, isn't it? If you think you've got the gift of teaching, and no one is growing under your teaching, you're just talking. If you don't have the gift of teaching, don't teach. See, I told you in January, now this is where the rubber really hits the road. This is where the water hits the wheel. I told you in January when I started this series on spiritual gifts, my hope and prayer is that those of you who haven't discovered your gift will discover it and use it. But you remember what I told you on January? First Sunday, first sermon series, first sermon in the series, on gifts. I told you, and if you'll remember, hopefully this registered, it may well be that after this series of sermons on spiritual gifts is over, some of you will have to quit doing what you're doing in this church because you don't have that gift. And I am telling you again on the authority of God's Word, if you're not a teacher and don't have that gift, quit. Because I'm telling you, with all the love in my heart I have for you, you're going to do more harm than good if you don't have the spiritual gift of teaching. Number three, let's close quickly. The results of this gift. We're going to see the results and then we're going to see the reward for this gift. But let me just quickly give you a couple of things here. Number one, if you're a teacher, the results of the gift will be that you will acquire truth from the Word of God. How does a teacher, you ever wondered about this? Your Sunday school teacher, your pastor, men and women with the gift of teaching, how do we acquire truth? Well, again, Jesus said in John 17, 17, your word is truth. Here's how we do it. We consult the author of the book. We talk to the Holy Spirit of God. Jesus said in John 14, the Holy Spirit will teach you. The Spirit of God living in us is the teacher. And so the teacher, in preparing a lesson or a sermon or a teaching time, is going to saturate their preparation with prayer. Let me give you a warning, Sunday school teachers. If you don't pray over your lesson before you begin to prepare, you're cheating yourself. Because when you pray and you ask the Holy Spirit of God, who authored the book and who teaches the book, if you'll ask Him to give you insight and wisdom into a passage, He will do it. Here's what we do with the passage we're teaching. We read it, and we read it, and we let it marinate in our heart, and we let God tell us what it's supposed to mean to us. Then we can consult commentaries, and we can read Bibles, and we can look at various translations, and we can read other material about the text, and all of that is helpful. But the most important thing we've got to do is pray over the Word. Then truth is not only acquired, truth is applied. See, every time a teacher opens their mouth, they apply the truth of God's Word. I may stand up here and give you information about a passage. I could talk out of the book of Acts and give you some information about the state of the early church in Jerusalem in 35 AD. That's information. But the teacher gives more than information. If all you get out of the Word of God under a teacher is information, he's only done half his job. Application. How do I take what I have learned and use it to grow up into maturity? Application means I take what I have heard, I apply it to my Christian life. And so write these things down. Number one, truth is uttered. Every teacher in this building today, during your Sunday school hour, whether you were teaching 4-year-olds, 40-year-olds, or 80-year-olds, you stood, you sat, you opened the Word of God, and listen to what you did. You opened your mouth. You know why that's significant? Because teaching is a gift that verbally applies truth. It was said of Jesus that He sat down one day and opened His mouth and He taught them. After you have studied and you have prayed and you have marinated yourself in the Scripture, there will come a time, whether behind a pulpit, behind a podium, in a children's church class, in a Sunday school class, there will come a time when you will open your mouth. And out will flow the unsearchable riches of God's Word. It may be in front of hundreds of people, or two, or three, or in Brother Jason Ramsey's case, sometimes even one. In his Sunday school class. It doesn't matter how big the class, how small the class, no venue is too small. When you open your mouth, you are teaching the eternal Word of God. Not only is truth uttered, secondly, the truth will be understood. Let me explain to you what I mean. One of the signs you've got the gift of teaching is you will be standing and sharing the Word, and people are going to do this. I'm getting it. I understand it. It makes sense. It is resonating. There is, however, one exception. Do you know who will never get it? Do you know who will never understand it? The lost person. Because 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 15 says, the natural man, the unbeliever, does not understand spiritual things. So no matter how gifted you are as a teacher, when you stand in front of believers, they're going to get it, but the unbeliever never will until they have the teacher living inside of them, namely the Holy Spirit. Listen to what the disciples on the road to Emmaus on that first Easter Sunday afternoon said about the Lord Jesus as he taught them. Luke chapter 24 in verse 32. Did not our hearts burn within us as Jesus opened to us and explained the Scriptures? That's what the teacher does. Thirdly, the truth is uttered, it is understood, it is used. The gifted teacher is not only going to explain the Word of God, but the person who hears it will take it and do it. James says a lot about being doers of the Word and not just hearers only. See, what I'm teaching you today doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you don't take it home with you. It doesn't matter if you don't remember it. It doesn't matter if you don't use it. You remember the parable of the sower and the seed? And the seed fell on four different types of soil. Only one kind of soil produced fruit. You know what many scholars have taken away from that parable? And I believe it. Only 25% of you here in this building this morning will receive and retain what I'm teaching. Three of the four soils did not produce fruit. Only one did. 25% of you will retain what I'm sharing with you this morning. Last Sunday morning, I preached on the gift of helps, service, ministry. I wonder if I were to call any of you who were here last Sunday morning up to this pulpit and ask you to take 3 or 4 minutes and tell me what you learned from last Sunday's message. Would you be able to do it? Some of you don't remember anything I taught you last Sunday morning on the gift of helps. Others of you may remember just a little bit here and a little bit there. You know what that means? That means that Satan does what he does best on Sunday morning. He steals the Word of God from your heart. In that parable of the soils and the sower, Jesus said the birds came and picked the seed off of the hard-packed soil. Later on, in explaining the parable, the Lord Jesus said, Satan comes oftentimes and he will steal the Word of God from you. And so what is the great legacy of the teacher? Not that people know more of the Word. If all you do as a teacher is transmit information and people know more of the Word, that isn't enough. The great legacy of the teacher is not that people know more of the Word, they're doing more of the Word. And then in closing, there's a reward for this gift. There's one on earth. You say, Pastor, what is the reward for the teacher on earth? Watching people grow. That's where all the chips are cashed in. The greatest joy in ministry, the greatest joy as a Sunday school teacher, the greatest joy for those of us with this gift, watching people grow up. That's when all the study, all the sweat, all the prayer, all the labor pays off. But let me tell you, there's going to be a reward in heaven for those of you who use the gift of teaching. Now, I'm merely going to ask you to write this down. Time's long gone. Would you write down James 3:1? Let me extend a warning to you. James chapter 3, verse 1 says, those with the gift of teaching will stand in front of the Lord one day, and they're going to have a weightier judgment. They're going to be under greater scrutiny with their gift than any other spiritual gift in the church. You say, why is that? Because you were handling one of only three eternal things on the earth. You were handling the Word of God. And God is going to have a weightier judgment for you. He is going to judge you more severely because you were handling His infallible, eternal Word. Therefore, every time you open your mouth to teach it, you ought to be just a little bit nervous because you were handling His eternal Word. And one day you will stand in front of the throne and be judged for your faithfulness to the opportunity He gives you. If you've got this gift, thank you for using it. You're helping Christians grow up. Bow your heads together, every head bowed, every eye closed.